would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
And happy Saturday. It is Saturday, November 19th, and time for the debut premiere of Blackbird Nine's Saturday Snack Shack here on RBN and Spreaker. And tonight's episode is episode 001 and is entitled, Is the Microphone On? Are we actually going out? So I thought that would be a good way to name a debut episode here. But my name is Frederick C. Blackburn. I'll be your host this evening. And other people know me as Blackbird Nine. Done a lot of fill-in work here on RBN over the years, but it's good to actually have a Saturday show. So we're going to have some fun on a Saturday here. And what's going to be nice about this show is, one, we have an outstanding, wonderful producer that is, you know, doing some of the backstage stuff that I don't have to do right now. So this is great. It's really hard when you're doing your own shows independently and you have to wear all the different hats. So great production team at RBN. Enjoyed working with you. Also, we will be able to take in calls. One of the things that we had a problem, my show that's been running about 7.5 years now, Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club on Wednesday nights, but we've been trying to get a dial-in set up with that show from day one, and it just never happened. Finally, we just gave up on the idea after spending lots of money to try to get it to work, but it never really worked. So with this show, you will be able to call in when we open up the phone lines. Don't call yet, but when we open up the phone lines, and that number is 512-248-8252. So 512-248-8252. Now there is, and you can go out to the website for Republic Broadcasting Network and get those numbers as well. There is a 1-800 number, but I give this out sparingly because it does cost the station money if you use the Watts line rather than the 512 number. So if you can afford it, you know, call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. But again, only use that if you can't afford the 512. And with everybody's, you know, roaming plans now, who can't make a call to another zip code or an area code, right? Right. So anyway, this show, you know, I guess kind of introduce myself for people who don't know me. I've been at this in what we call the Greater Truth community for a very long time, and I'm one of those people who is living the dream up until 9/11, and 9/11 changed everything, right? Sure changed things for me. I was kind of backstage on 9/11 in the telecommunication industry, and I kind of got known to being a NSA whistleblower before 9/11. And then after 9/11, everything just really kind of fell into place about what was going on with the NSA and the telcos and Unit 8200, spoilers. And then, you know, after 9/11, you know, getting known as a whistleblower because I kind of didn't believe the official story on 9/11, especially the magic cell phone calls being in the telecommunication industry. The magic cell phone calls kind of did it, and we... as well as, you know, WTC7. That was kind of a tricky one. But anyway, so that next thing I knew, you know, instead of living the dream, I'm living out of my car in a tent. So, but, you know, things got stabilized, and I started up the Trading Post model. And we've been doing, like I said, the Trading Post up here, good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small, up here on Blackjack Mountain in the mountains of North Kakalaki for quite some time now, and started up the Breakfast Club show. And Breakfast Club is for newbies, wake up, level up, and party up. And so with this show, in addition to introducing a new audience to my work and who I am and my role in this crazy clown world mess we find ourselves in, but basically to, you know, introduce my modeling. Look, we talk a lot of game theory. We do history. So just kind of want to, you know, use this show as a way to interface with the audience as to, okay, these are some of the crazy things I'm seeing from where I am here in the mountains of North Kakalaki. You know, what are you seeing on the ground where you are? And one of the things we have really built up with our open source shareware intelligence grid, as we call it, we just share information open and freely, like we're supposed to do. And we connect dots and make patterns and make projections and things like that. And, you know, we've got quite the contribution base now. It's amazing that this little project has turned into such an international endeavor, and that, you know, we can share information with people around the world in real time. And this was, you know, one of my prides of having been part of building the internet. I was that kind of engineer. But, you know, one of the things we run is this chat room at the Trading Post called bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. And we go round the clock from all over the world, people posting newsworthy items, projections, opinions, and obviously we have the hottest news and the dankest memes on the web. So you're welcome to come out and join us in the chat room, and got a lot of good people there. But if you're coming for a knife fight, that's not what this site's for. So if you're looking for a fight, that's not what the Trading Post site is for. And we've got some very good moderators who don't put up with foolishness. But if you want to come share information and good fellowship, you know, you're more than welcome to come out and join us. But anyway, so that's one of the other things that the Trading Post offers, is basically that news feed. And what I try to do is, you know, draw from my experiences as, you know, the old engineer who just turned 60 this week. So we'll be talking about birthday stuff here in a little bit. But, you know, that, okay, I've got this body of information of my, you know, travels and how I was working behind the scenes going up to 9/11, and then found myself basically ostracized and in exile for trying to tell the truth, and having to basically come up with a new way of trying to earn a living in this new clown world, which basically says people like me, local white men, need not apply for work. And, you know, we're just in the middle of this incredible Kalergi plan-based invasion here, just like in every other white nation. And so that's one of the other things we talk about, is the implementation of this, you know, agenda that no one voted for. It was done in the shadows by the hidden hand, and they're trying to roll it out on us. And so we do a lot of analysis of what's really going on. And one of the big things we talk about is power spheres and game theory warfare. So, you know, force multipliers in game theory. And one of the things about this type of war, I always say, you know, after 9/11, whether you like it or not, you are at war. Every person on this planet is at war. It's just a different type of war, right? And, you know, so we talk a lot about fourth and fifth generation warfare in my other show. And, you know, so one of the things, you know, we want to talk about is, you know, how are you seeing this fourth and fifth generation warfare playing out in your communities, your counties, your states, your countries? You know, because it's basically the same cookie cutter model that we find they're using around the world. And so this is where we start reverse engineering the New World Order, because one of the things about, you know, 9/11, you know, we knew the official story was bogus immediately. It was trauma-based programming that all of Mockingbird Media, you know, got in on, right, internationally. So that's a very sobering thought, that your communication grid could be hijacked so freely and completely. And then, you know, just that insistent, you know, intransigence of no other opinions were allowed. And, you know, to, you know, say, you know, I have this, these credentials, you know, I was here, I saw this, I was running for, you know, political office in my home state. I was the chair of a political party. I was, you know, going to the national conventions as a delegate, you know, so you would think, you know, somebody, and an Eagle Scout nonetheless, right? So you would think, you know, that a real journalist would have some interest in talking to me, and you know, you find out that is not the case. You know, your truth is not welcome here. We don't care how accurate your facts and data are, right? So this was, you know, the real struggle with so many of us in the early truth movement is, you know, trying to figure out who the enemy is. So if the official story is wrong, then who did it, right? And, you know, what was the objective? What was the end game? And that was the big rabbit hole that, you know, led us down where we are. And it's interesting that on the one hand, I'm sitting there going, you know, I lost everything I worked for my entire life up to that point. I lost my farm. I lost my home. I lost my business. I lost my marriage. I lost all my farm critters, you know, all those things you lost, right? You know, lost my savings, my portfolio. Remember when I had a thing called a portfolio? And, you know, to completely lose all of that for this agenda that, you know, had nothing ever to do with the United States. And this is, you know, what we're seeing. But, you know, so many of us in the early truth community, many of them have shows on networks like this now where, you know, touch the third rail and suddenly you find yourself cast out. And so that's basically where I found myself when we started working on this project of both the Trading Post, the news feed, and the Breakfast Club show. And so, you know, it's going to be great to be spending Saturdays with all of you here on RBN and talking about these things, my life experiences, and hearing your experiences of, you know, what are you seeing on the ground this week in Clown World? And, you know, it's just, as we go through tonight's show, it's just, you know, in the last week-long news cycle, you know, think of what we have gone through. We went through the entire false flag, Poland, Ukraine, Russia blitz of media, trying to invoke Article 5 of NATO, which would basically guarantee the beginning of World War III. That's something we could talk about. Or, you know, the very nice FTX scandal with, you know, by way of Ukraine back to the 2022 midterm elections, mainly Democrat parties and Republicans that were against Donald Trump, you know, that all this money was getting laundered back through FTX. And we find out that, you know, Sam Blankman Fried is maybe not the most generous billionaire. We'll be playing that clip up. We could talk about how good old Chucky Schumer just won his elections, and he immediately came out demanding that all the 11 million plus invaders that, you know, are here to replace us, that they all be given amnesty, you know, and you can just really see the Kalergi plan and the New World Order agenda being played out in this master of both pill pull logic and arguing and Mashira law. And that's one of the things, you know, we could talk about Mashira law and pill pull and how it relates to both the most generous billionaire ever, Sam Bankman Fried, echo, 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 or Charles Schumer, Chucky Schumer, you know, who would win the pill pool Mashira law contest? And, you know, we can talk about things like Target wanting to close down all their stores because all the woke policy they demanded happening after the George Floyd riots is now coming home to roost. And, you know, they've got so many thefts and vandalism cases that, yeah, they're closing stores and putting their stores under lock and key. Or we could talk about how the soccer cup is going completely woke in Qatar. Or the G20, which is a good running for the faggot fashion of the fake and go New World Order with their somewhere between Nehru jackets and Paisley Mal jackets, right? You know, so whatever the dress code was at the G20 summit, you know, it really just showed how fake and gay the New World Order really is. Or we could talk about the 6,000 Chabad Lubavitch rabbis that met this week, you know, that are just, you know, just a little blood cult looking for the end of the world, right? So, so the Messiah will come in, but, you know, nobody's really talking about 6,000 rabbis from all around the world, you know, getting together and no diversity in that meeting. Or we could talk about Taylor Swift being totally upset with the ticket sales through Ticketmaster. You know, poor Taylor Swift. You know, everything's going on, and that's what she has to worry about. Or we could talk about Bibi Netanyahu's re-election and his curious trophy of the COVID-19 vaccine that he has in his office. So anyway, those are some of the things I've been watching this week, and thought, you know, if somebody wants to call in and we could talk about those. So just really to set the stage on, you know, what we're dealing with. Yeah, this is an actual clip from Chuck Schumer, and he is talking about giving amnesty. And when they say amnesty, they mean setting these people up in Section 8 housing, giving them welfare cards, getting them registered to vote, giving them preferential treatments in hiring processes. And this is just blatant Kalergi plan. You know, meanwhile, you have the head of Homeland Security testifying boldfacedly before Congress that he considers, you know, the border safe and secure. And it's just like, you know, what do these two chicken swingers have in common as their end game? And how can they sit there and just boldface lie and just, you know, be have such an anti-white stance in their position? So listen to this clip from Chucky Schumer, and if you want to call in, we can talk about it.
Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing it on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
And can you hear the coding in that? If we are ever going to have success in the United States, and you wonder, you know, who is he talking about? Because he's definitely not talking about my demographic. And, you know, my demographic comes from, you know, basically one side, my father's side of the family, going back in these Appalachian Mountains to colonial days, and my mother's side of the family going back to the Louisiana area to colonial days, right? And so we're the European stock that needs to be replaced by this Kalergi plan, that you have this active network of chicken swingers that are moving into these areas, setting up NGO groups, and funneling, you know, human traffic to basically saturate these areas, both rural and urban, with non-whites, non-Christians, as part of their agenda to destroy the homogeneous nature of these high-trust white Christian communities. So, you know, this has been the plan for a very long time. This is the thing you have to get your head around, that this war has been going on for a very long time. And, you know, who is behind it? What is their end game? And you find people like Chuck Schumer. It's like, how does somebody like him, who, if you talk to any, you know, non-Jew in that state, you know, they can't stand the guy, they don't trust the guy, you know, but why does he keep getting reelected? And, well, we kind of went through this, you know, this last midterm elections and the elections before, the 2020 elections, and realizing that, you know, our election process is completely skewed. We have been compromised on our voting integrity in this republic. And, you know, that was by design. And so you just have to remember the old, you know, Bolshevik maxim from Stalin of, you know, we don't need to, you know, basically the people don't need to know anything other than there was an election and they got to vote. It's not who cast the votes that matter, but who counts the votes, and we count the votes. So here, you know, you just see this playing out, that you've got this top-down system that is there to basically push the New World Order agenda to dismantle all existing nations, to make them dependent on this New World Order system. And this is where your Klaus Schwabs and your World Economic Forum folks come in, and your George Soros types. And so they're there to basically administrate the new policies and procedures. This is not representation government anymore, right? You know, the people are not being represented. They're being disenfranchised, and this slime mold continues to creep in by all these young Economic Forum world leaders that are properly brainwashed in this bogus Marxist ideology. And so they're basically committing treason in their own, you know, communities and nations. Everything from, you know, your prime ministers like Justine Trudeau, or, you know, so many of our American, so-called American leaders, all the way down to, you know, your universities, et cetera. You know, all of these groups have been compromised, you know, by design. You know, they are grooming the leaders of tomorrow, literally, right? So, you know, how do they go about it? So, you know, this is the NGO model. So, you know, the cell moves in, and suddenly you get all of these NGOs sprouting up. Where does that money come from? So this week, one of the big stories, of course, was the FTX story. And before this all blew up, I want you to listen to this clip. It's a little long. It should take us into the break. But listen to this clip on, you know, how they were promoting this philanthropist. You know, and this is basically just fourth and fifth generation warfare. This philanthropist, Sam Bankman-Fried.
Okay, the guy you see next to me is the most generous billionaire in the world, and I found him.
Hi, my name is Sam, and this is my story.
Sam has crazy hair. Sam is vegan. Sam sleeps 5 hours a night. Sam lives in the Bahamas with 10 roommates. Sam is 29 years old only, but Sam has $22 billion. And he wants to donate all of it to charity. But why?
Well, for many reasons.
I flew all the way from Dubai to the Bahamas to tell you the incredible story of Sam Bankman-Fried. Ever since Sam was a kid, he wanted to get rich. Really, really rich. But not for the reasons you think.
I wanted to get rich not because I like money, but because I wanted to give that money to charity.
So after graduating from MIT, he went on a mission to get rich. One day, he noticed that the price of Bitcoin in the United States was different from the price of Bitcoin in Japan. And that was an opportunity.
So, you know, Bitcoin is trading at $10,000 on a U.S. exchange, $11,000 on a Japanese exchange. You take $10 million, you buy $10,000, you sell at $11,000, you make $1 million, and we were able to do that every weekday.
So every weekday you made $1 million in profit just from doing that?
That's right.
Yeah, from this simple idea, he made a total of $20 million. And that was just the beginning. Sam became a crypto trader full-time and started a crypto trading company called FTX.
FTX is a cryptocurrency exchange. It's a place that you would go to buy and sell Bitcoin, and other digital assets.
And this is the crazy part. In 2 years, his company became one of the biggest in the world, worth over $40 billion, and he's not even 30 years old. That's impressive. But Sam is not a traditional billionaire because he believes in the concept of earn to give, which means his goal as a human is to make as much money as possible just to give it away. Earn to give. And that's exactly what he's doing.
So let's say that you have $100 and you want to figure out what you can do with it to help the world. Earning to give is thinking about which causes, which charities save the most lives per dollar. This $100 can go as far as it possibly can to help the world.
Last year, this 29-year-old guy donated $50 million. Next year, he's planning to donate $500 million a year. And next decade, he will probably give away more than $10 billion.
All right, so you kind of get the idea of the scam going on here. And yeah, that this is not some boy genius who is doing this market. This is a well-seasoned machine that is using soft power to basically influence the world. And you know, this idea of fourth and fifth generation warfare, where you're funneling money from ill-gotten gains off of hedge funds and the like, right? Basically Ponzi schemes. You're telling all these people it's great investment, et cetera. And we're finding out just how much Hollyweird promoted this amongst all the goyim with way too much money, right? Looking for ways to make even more money, quick money, right? And they don't have to do anything. They just want money. You know, that magic thing, if you put two coins in a can and shake them, they'll magically breed and make three coins, right? The trick of usury, right? So basically you had this whole pyramid scheme going on where this young man who was the latest face of this big bucket of money, you know, you think, how is this money moved from him to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, to, you know, Robert Maxwell, to the Enron crowd? You know, just the line goes back, Bernie Madoff. Yeah, you always have this big pile of money that when somebody goes to prison, the big pile of money just kind of disappears. What happened to the big pile of money that they ripped off from everybody else and then are using that to funnel in to synthetically manipulate communities, to influence thinking, right? And so this is the big racket that this guy was pulling off. And we find out that all of this money that has started pouring into Ukraine, well, guess who the broker was on this? None other than FTX. And some of those philanthropy groups, again, were everybody that were running on this New World Order progressive anti-white agenda. Right, so all these Democrats got tons of black money from these accounts, and also a group of rhinos got a lot of money that were, you know, pledged to go after President Donald Trump. Right, so they're, you know, they're still waging that war, and this got really exposed. And what's fascinating is, you know, watching this blow apart, and having our mockingbird media trying to soft pedal it. You know, the full spectrum from CNN to Fox News, that, you know, oh, well, you know, what was this really, you know, just a good intention Jewish boy trying to save the world. And, you know, they were just, you know, young and naive and, you know, got away from them. And they, you know, did they really do any harm? That kind of thing. You know, it's the soft peddling of this. And the same thing with, you know, the latest from, sitting here looking at the clock thinking we should be in going into break. There we go. So anyway, so yeah, you know, just this whole thing of this, you know, pyramid scheme is what we're dealing with, the soft power. So anyway, we're getting ready to go into break. You're listening to Blackbird Nine's Saturday Snack Shack. We'll be back on the other side. We'll be right back.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
When I was a little boy around the table at home, I remember very well when company would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate.
And we're back. You're listening to Blackbird Saturday Snack Shack Show, and tonight's episode is episode 1, Is the Microphone On? And we have our first caller, Mr. Dave in Nevada.
Oh, wow. Thank you for taking my call. You were talking about FTX and this recent scandal with FTX and the shakedown with all the money funneling to Ukraine involving the Bidens, et cetera, et cetera. I've been following cryptocurrencies for the last 15 years, since Bitcoin was like at $900 per coin. And I do not believe it's going to zero. I believe that it is going to go under $10,000, way under $10,000. But I don't think that's the real issue. The real issue is that, and I've actually seen FTX, I've seen the platform for it, because I've traded cryptocurrencies before on various different platforms, and a lot of them are very sketchy. They they make these promises, but they're very tenuous promises. They're very vague. They say they make these guarantees, but they don't tell you. They don't explain what the guarantees are very clearly. I downloaded FTX as an app on my phone once, and I just looked at the platform by which you trade, and I just took one look at it, and it was so hastily put together, and it looked so cheap. I just said to myself, there is a problem with this particular exchange. And that was just instinct when I first looked at it. There are so many new exchanges that are coming online with cryptocurrencies that they do not stand the test of time, because if they are new, they, by logic or by convention, they do not stand the test of time. They're new. And if there's a plethora, or if there are too many exchanges coming on at once, it's best not to use them, period. And I'm not against cryptocurrencies, actually. I'm not, just like I'm not really for gold, because I've seen gold do the same thing that Bitcoin has done. I've seen gold spike to very high prices, and then it completely dumped. And that is simply because every single currency that we have, and Bitcoin is a currency, gold is a currency, the dollar is a currency, the yuan is a currency, the yen is a currency, all of these things, they are futures contracts. In other words, they are all derivatives. Every single currency is a derivative, including gold and silver. So people who talk about gold and silver as being this kind of savior or salvation, they can't. It's not a real argument,
right? And that's one of the things that's such a rough thing to get our heads around is, you know, if we're going to be independent nations, we have to take our currencies back. One of the big things about the Constitution is they said we're supposed to be printing our own money and our own coinage here, right? And therefore, yeah, you never go into debt to anybody. But that got kind of sidetracked in 1913 with the ram through of the Federal Reserve. And I always say, you know, none of this is really going to change politically until we go to the core and regain, you know, power over our own currencies. And then the question is, one, what should we base that new currency? Because, you know, the original dollar was actually a measure of silver, right?
Right.
And, you know, when you're doing precious metals, you know, you always have that volatility that you were talking about. And one of the things that was the German miracle of the 1930s was pegging their currency to a unit of German labor. And so there's lots of alternatives. I actually got to work on an alternative currency we put in North Carolina around Research Triangle area, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, called the Plenty. And, you know, back in the 90s, I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it was an interesting experiment in alternative currencies, you know, on a local level within, a republic like this. And, you know, looking at some states have their own banks that issue their own currency. So have you ever investigated any of that?
I've listened to, there have been several guests on RBN, and I've heard about state-based currencies. I don't fully understand it, but I understand them to the point where I think that having a local currency or a local standard is kind of it makes sense, because for instance the federal interest rate, it applies to all 50 states, right? But I don't think that should be the case, because each state has its own economy. Why should the Federal Reserve determine the interest rates of all 50 states when there's some when there are some cities and states that are booming and some that are not, and to apply that interest rate to make the cost of living rise for everyone where they have different economies makes absolutely no sense. The problem is, like I was saying, is that there are all of these currencies that are we're looking at the price of right now. They're derivatives, and right. That includes gold and silver. And when people say constitutional gold and silver, the Constitution does not talk about printing money. They said the Constitution talks about gold being minted. It has to be minted. Right. It's not printed.
Right.
There's a difference between minting money.
Okay. If you'd like to get in on this conversation, you can call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, and the lines are open. So have you ever looked into, you know, who is behind so many of these cryptocurrency scams, and have you tracked it back to any of the Israeli intelligence groups like Talpiot or the Mega Group or Unit 8200 or Unit 269 or any of that?
I don't know. I don't like to do that because I can't really come to a definite conclusion about whenever I do research, I never come to a definite conclusion about who does what. It's hard for me to say. I don't think there's a particular problem with cryptocurrencies. I think there's a specific problem with the exchanges. That's the problem.
Well, one of the things you talked about was just the derivatives. And, you know, when you look at the history of banking and you go from, you know, simple interest to compound interest, you know, that's magic in itself. I mean, just amazing how quickly you can cripple an economy with compound interest. But when you start looking at derivatives and asymptote spikes and just how many times this has just blown up the stock exchange, and, you know, with derivatives now, we're looking at fictional money. Like, there is not nearly enough money in circulation to ever cover the derivatives markets because the numbers are just so synthetically, you know, exponential by design. So, you know, what's your take on, you know, how derivatives really got weaponized?
How they got weaponized? Well, they got, I believe they got weaponized like in the 1970s by, particularly by Goldman Sachs. They introduced the gold futures contract into the market, which I believe was a huge mistake. Not on their part, but on our part, just to accept it. The gold contracts are 100 ounces to one actual ounce.
So, all right, let's bring in Mr. Allen from Texas and see what he has to say on this topic. Mr. Allen from Texas.
Hey, good evening. I'm kind of glad to hear you on the radio here. Talking about this local currency thing, this local currency, you said you're about 60 years old. How many times when you go to your county fair, you go up to the ticket booth and you buy, you know, $20 worth of tickets, and you go on the tilt-a-whirl and it's two tickets. You go on the roundabout and it's three tickets. You go over and you play the fishbowl game. It's one ticket. You know, that's a local currency. You know, we've accepted it and it's been there. Yet, if you try to do that in your local community, you look like you're tax dodging. You know, I mean, people. You know, you got to understand. We are so controlled. It's just unbelievable. You know, why can the county fair do it, but we can't do it in our local community? You know, create your own local script, and it's like you come into our county, you want to stop at the store and buy, you know, a steak at the store, a pound of hamburger, or a Pepsi or something. You know, well, here's one local ticket. When you come into town, you stop at the booth and you pay your money and you buy your local currency and you deal in local currency. I mean, you know, what's the difference?
Right. What a great call. Thank you for calling in. Another one to look at is from a game theory business perspective, you look at how Chuck E. Cheese does their token racket, and also the Disney dollars.
Said Chuck E. Cheese, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, but that was a brilliant, diabolical, but brilliant business strategy with the tokens at Chuck E. Cheese. And the same with Disney dollars. You know, when Disney introduced their own Disney dollars, you know, the whole strategy behind all that. So, yeah, definitely.
Or if you want to call it, getting local currency and only being in shop at the company store, you know, if you want to call it sharecroppers, you know, you don't actually own the property you live on, and they pay you in their local script, and you can only buy your food and your products at the company store. You know, this goes way back, you know, to the 1920s and 30s, you know, during the Depression. Same damn thing. You know, they've got us living on company script. You know, it's like when the only real labor that you have is what you can do with your brain and what you can do with your muscles. And then they give you representation of that, and then it all becomes bastardized, and they use it against you as a weapon.
All right, great. Dave, do you have anything to say on that? Because I think I'm going to let you go. We got a couple more callers coming. I don't want too many in the call right now.
Yeah, no. I'll jump off. I'll be on it again in the morning. I'm actually a host in first thing tomorrow morning. I just wanted to call in and just put my two cents in and say thank you to welcome to the network.
Well, thank you so much. And when's your show, Aaron? And tell us about your show.
From 8 to 10 in the morning, Republic of Texas Radio. My friend Steve and me, we just come on, and we love callers, and we just talk about what's going on.
Well, thank you so much for calling in the show. That means a lot. I appreciate it. You have a good night.
Good to hear you, man.
All right. Okay, let's have Mr. Alan, you still there? Alan, are you still there, or did he hang up? Okay, well, let's bring in Mr. Gregory from California.
Hello.
Is this Mr. Gregory from California?
No, this is just Gregory. I don't go by Mr.
Gregory from California. Welcome to the Snack Shack. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, happy day. Well, you just hit a sore spot, and my teeth just had to call.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I get wrong?
Have you ever read the book or known of James Ewart, who wrote the book Money, back in 97, I believe, maybe 98, I don't know. I got to talk to the guy, but he went through the whole etymology of the word, in as much as his studies, you know, all the dictionaries and everything else that he went through to get to his findings. But what he called money was precious metals coined at a mint. Precious metals coined at a mint is money. And that's why the Constitution says, it's got to be minted, gold or silver, to their standards. A dollar is 371.25 grains of fine silver or 25.8 grains of gold, I believe, or 25. Whatever. Anyway, it's because money is precious metals coined as a mint. And currency, you can use anything, and they have used about everything for currency. I mean, from cocoa to seashells. Whatever you desire. If I have a bunch of them and I want to trade this for that, I mean, that's currency. That's the way it is. But when you're talking about real hard assets, and gold and silver are very precious metals for their, not only their aesthetical properties, but their curative properties and their rarity properties as well.
Yeah, and you are absolutely right. I was painting with a broad brush. My apologies. There is a difference between money and currency.
And what I call a currency that we're currently coerced into utilizing are, I was calling them Satan slave tokens for a long time.
That's a good one. Well,
we're Rothschild slave tokens, but now I call them Satan slave tokens, yeah, because it's one and the same, right? It's the Rothschild, Red Shield, whatever. Yeah, these heinous, moronic, demonic morons claim to control the world. I mean, the Rothschilds themselves. What was it, 70% of the world's wealth? And this was, how many years ago did I read that poopy?
Right.
But when you find out that they own the whole electrical grid of the world, it doesn't take a mental moron to figure it out.
Right. And, you know, one of the things, I have to let you go here. I got a couple more callers lined up.
Tell everybody but, thanks. And goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Good points. All right, let's take Mr. James in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, good afternoon. I caught your show the other day on the Paul McCartney issue, and I wanted to let you know that I really enjoyed the program. And
oh, thank you much. That was a fun three-part series to get through.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, it brings back a lot of memories because I grew up in the 60s, and I think subconsciously we knew something was happening, but we wanted to believe that, you know, it was a hoax. But I see now that there's something really deeply hidden under the whole Beatles thing that they don't want to get out. So,
yeah, we all love the Beatles like we were supposed to.
Well, yeah. You know, I agree with James Fetzer from the point of view of, yeah, they were inspiring, but there was the hidden, what is it they call it, the hidden hand. Who promoted them? What were the details? John F. Kennedy was just assassinated, and all of a sudden February... the beginning of February, they're on the Ed Sullivan Show, you see. But my generation couldn't connect the dots until it got to about 1969 when you saw things like Altamont, a raceway, and all of the, you know, the whole other issue, you see. So something was going down that obviously was sinister. So I just wanted to say hi.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that.
All right.
Let's see here. Let's try Mr. Fred in Michigan.
Hey, baby, that was awesome. And that guy, Balducci?
Yes. Richard? Wasn't he amazing? And Dr. Fetzer and Mr. Giuseppe, that was quite the round table.
Oh, yeah. But Richard, the synopsis he gave on the history of the Dakota and all everything else, when I heard him say that St. Paul and John Lennon took a blood oath, they did a blood oath, a ceremonial blood oath at the Dakota on 24 October, wasn't it 1963? It was either 63 or 64. I said, whoa, that's, I've heard rumors of that. And many, many others, BB9, that many of them, including Elvis and Dylan, the Stones, they all have taken these blood oaths with Lucifer, man. But to the point of the monetary system, I admonish you to review a presentation by the title Federal Reserve Act, 1913, Your Remedy in Law. That's on YouTube, YouTube channel Jack Boston. Federal Reserve Act, 1913, Your Remedy in Law. Guy by the name of David Merrill, brilliant, brilliant man. Yeah, I think you'll be impressed immensely. You got to hear that, bro. I mean,
what's the title of it again? Give me the title.
Yeah, that deserves it's. Federal Reserve Act, 1913, Your Remedy in law. Federal Reserve Act, 1913, your remedy in law, on YouTube at the channel Jack Boston. Jack Boston on YouTube. The guy's name is David Merrill, man. This guy is absolutely precisely meticulous, or is it meticulously precise? Whatever. But I mean, I did have English, but I'm not quite sure of it all. I mean, it's amazing. And there's another one, Sam the Man, the board op, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, on a Saturday, he did The Secret of Oz. Have you ever heard The Secret of Oz?
Oh, the bank, the Wizards of New York instead of the Wizards of Oz.
It's a precise allegory or whatever it is. I mean, it's at the same time humorous, but precisely pointed and exact in its elucidation of the fraud. Okay, of the fraud.
Right, and the silver slippers over the gold Rick Road.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, of course. I never learned that, man. Okay, yeah. But it's worth repeating because, look, and I'll tell you what, anybody who says they're not programmed, brother, you need to see this. It's on BitChute by the title, TV Hypnosis, Frontal Lobe Shutdown. TV Hypnosis, Frontal Lobe Shutdown. Because everybody I know says, oh, man, Fred, you are a wacko conspiracy nut job, man. Go back to your cave. I said, well, wait a minute. You have Talmud vision, don't you? Talmud vision? Well, that Talmud vision has got you totally hypnotized. And here's the evidentiary proof from top-flight scientists from major universities. TV Hypnosis, Frontal Lobe Shutdown.
Right. This is science. Have you know a nugget from the past, since you brought a nugget, I'll share a nugget with you. Do you remember a gentleman by the name of Damon Vrabel, V-R-A-B-E-L, from about 2010?
No, bro. Nope.
Oh, man. If you can find it, most of his stuff got scrubbed off the internet, but he showed up around 2009. And started doing these short YouTube videos on the theory of money and currency and exchange and everything. And just, you know, walk through the whole illusion of where we are now. And then he put out that one last video. He pulled it down and disappeared. Right. And he and I had this email exchange for years. And then he ghosted me. Right. So I have no idea whatever happened to this guy, but he was absolutely brilliant. And his, you know, understanding of money theory was just up there with what you're describing.
Well, BB, let me tell you, let me reiterate, this guy, David Merrill, Jack Boston, Federal Reserve Act 1913, your remedy in law. This could be this guy's twin brother. This guy, David Merrill, successfully prosecuted the Federal Reserve in 1978 as a law student at George Washington University. I'm telling you, man, you're going to be impressed. I want to hear back from you. Are you? So you're on every Saturday?
Yeah, we're going to do this show. So call back. So I hate to let you go, but we've got one more call and I want to try to squeeze in before we run out of time. Quince in Florida, thanks for calling in, Fred.
Great show. I'm really enjoying it. Just wanted to add my 2 cents in worth. For people to go to YouTube and look up Mike Williams regarding the Paul and the Beatles thing, look up Sage of Quay, Mike Williams.
Oh, okay. Thanks for calling in, Quince. Call in next week and you can talk longer, all right? So we are out of time, everyone. I'd like to thank RBN for having me on tonight. Until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous. And these puny waves, because I always had to take
an old cold tater away. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.